I'm Nicole.
And I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting. This month, we watched The Green Knight, a retelling of the Arthurian legend, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Dev Patel stars as Sir Gawain, a young nephew of King Arthur, whose mother and uncle expect more from him than his current lifestyle of drinking, sleeping in late, and being involved with a commoner sex worker. He goes off on a quest that might end with his death. The movie has some significant departures from the original text, and it's also very, very weird. So this month, I knit The Homecoming Cardi by Shay Johnson, finally splitting for sleeves, which is very exciting. And I spun. Monica, what did you knit?
I knit Swirled Peace by Lisa K. Ross, which is a Fair Isle hat. And I ripped out an entire sweater.
Oh, wow. Is this the sweater that betrayed you?
Yes, it is the sweater of doom. So it is green. So that's interestingly
Yeah. Well, this movie had a very interesting palette where I felt like it really loved gray. It was very into like different shades of gray and like lighting gray. And I was like, so much gray.
There were brief moments where I was like, did my TV turn off? Because the background was so dark. I was like, I can't see anything going on the screen. And it wasn't like I was watching in a bright room. There were some interesting color choices going on. And there were many interesting choices going on.
Yeah, there were a lot of interesting choices. Well, it was that gray. It was always very helpful that Gawain was in that yellow, because I was always like, okay, mm-hmm. I see you. I can see what you're doing. I can follow you as you like do stuff. And then the Green Knight, when he originally shows up, is gray. Like he shows up in the court and I'm like, he's not green. He's like a grayish green, but it's not like a true green. And
then he's like a tree person, but he is not in fact green.
No. And then later in the movie, when he shows up that second time, you're like, okay, he's actually green now. Mm-hmm. Like he's still tree. You're still getting some like tree beard vibes, mm-hmm. but he's greener than he previously was.
It's funny. I had a very Arthurian phase back when I was younger.
Oh my God, Sam. I was going to ask you, tell me all about your Arthurian phase.
I think I was in high school, middle school. It was one of the two. Yeah. So I remember the story of Sir Gawain. I also never knew it was pronounced Gawain. I always thought it was Gawain. So there you go. But like you said, I was glad I had subtitles because he said Gawain and I was like, who is he? No idea. Anyway, when the movie first started and it started off in that view, like that like raspy, creepy voice, I was like, this is the right movie.
Well, it was very funny because when they started off that way, the first thing I was thinking about is like the Lord of the Rings trilogy when they do that like very much doo-doo and like, or not loud, I can't sing, but that like da-da-da-da and the voiceovers by various characters. So I was like, oh yeah, like that feels kind of similar to it.
Yeah. Anyway, so my Arthurian phase, I think, was probably, I had always read the stories because my dad had a copy, like a leather-bound copy of the original sort of King Arthur stories. Mm-hmm. So I had read them, but I think my resurgence of interest was I watched Camelot at some point in middle school, and we read parts of The Once and Future King in my freshman English class. So I think that was kind of what got me started again. But I very vaguely remember the whole Gawain story. And I do remember the whole plot line of, you know, and how I strike thee, you will then be struck, etc. I do remember that. There was a lot of other stuff going on. I was like, has it just been a long time? Or do I have no idea?
Well, in the words of the Princess Bride, the Sir Gawain, as the text was passed down from the Middle Ages, is a kissing story. Like there's a lot more kissing. I was like watching this movie and I was like, when do we get to the kissing parts? Mm-hmm. So that was like something that I was expecting. And I had had an Arthuriana phase, like kind of in middle schoolish, where I got very into retellings and like novelizations of the different stories. And I had read various translations and stuff. And I think like a big book of Arthurian legends. But I was like very into like retellings of the story. And it in some ways really was my first fandom without knowing that phase. Like I didn't have that concept, and without participating with anybody else. But I was like, oh, this is about King Arthur. Okay, I'm interested. I will take this book out from the library. I will buy this book. So that was my first age 10 to 14 kind of quote unquote Finnish interest, but I didn't have that concept.
Interesting.
I think that's part of the reason why I find I'm always here for like some Arthuriana nonsense. Also plays into like my kind of Finnish interests of the same but different. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about with Star Trek last month, where you're retelling the same or similar story, but everybody's going to put their own twist on it or do their own thing. And mm-hmm. this movie was very much doing its own thing. So
it sure was. Yeah. I am, for what it's, I don't know if the movie version had the same sort of music volume issues that mm-hmm. the recorded version did. I am glad I didn't watch it in the theater. That said, I am kind of glad I watched it once, I think. Not sure. I probably wouldn't watch it again, and I almost certainly, I'm not sure it would have benefit at all from being seen in the theater.
No, it's very dark, so it's not going to give you that same sort of vistas that a TV screen or a TV scene versus a movie theater for something that's a little lighter and is more heavy on the special effects is going to give you. I actually ended up watching it twice, partially because I like to get my money out of a rental, yeah. But I watched it once last night, and I got to the end, and I was like, what? And then I sat down this morning, and I was like, all right, maybe if I rewatch it again, it will make more sense. Like, let me see if like rewatching it will help me understand it a little bit more.
Did it?
A little bit. I don't think it made like a lot more sense, but there were things that watching through the second time, I was more able to pick up what was going on. Because when I was watching it the first time, I was thinking to myself, I think they've collapsed Gawain and the Mordred character together. I was like, I think Arthur is his father. I feel pretty sure about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I watched it the second time around. And when they're talking at Christmas, Arthur says, it's always good to have your pause family. And I'm like, oh, you wanted to say son there. And it's not something that's ever actually brought in. But when you like look at how Arthur interacts with him, you're like, oh, this is his son, his incestuous son, because he had it with his sister, who he like didn't know how to interact with. And that's why he feels bad and guilty for not being there with him as a child.
Huh.
It's not, you know, textually ever stated, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is what you're going for. So
That would not have occurred to me in a million years.
No.
So it makes sense. But like the whole thing, like I was like, y'all have a strange relationship going on here, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Like, I'm like, why did Gawain volunteer for this thing in the first place? But he did, and there he goes, and yep. Okay, here we are.
Well, I felt that a lot of the plot, and this was another, like, I watched it, and I was like, I don't really understand what this movie is trying to drive at. So I thought about it, and then I rewatched again, and I thought about it for, like, another 2 hours, trying to, like, turn it over in my head to be like, what is this movie trying to drive mm-hmm. at? And I think ultimately what it's saying is it wants Gawain to, one, make choices, mm-hmm. and two, own the consequence of those choices. Because as it's kind of the Hamlet situation where you mm-hmm. watch him go through the movie and he kind of gets backed into corners and will eventually react to it, but he doesn't choose his choice very often.
Yeah.
So it's not until he finally sees the consequences of his actions, if he had cheated basically the Green Knight, and says, no, that's not the life I want to live, and removes the girdle, that he can mm-hmm. achieve his quest to be a knight and live with honor. So that to me is kind of where I'm at right now. I could be talked into other interpretations, but I'm like, this is really weird. This is, I guess, what's going on, but don't hold me to it.
Except did he live his life and go off in honor?
question mark. It left as a very ambiguous end, and I decided that I liked that he lived. So in my head, he lived. He obviously lives in the legend as well, so I was like, yes, I choose to believe that he also lives here.
So. Yes, I mean, in the legend, he goes off and he finds the Grail eventually, doesn't he? He is the knight who finds the Grail.
No, that's Galahad.
Oh, maybe you're right. You're correct.
Both begins with G. Both, I think related to King. No, Galahad is Lancelot's son.
Yes, that's right. You are correct. Yes. So,
but they both do begin with that G-I sound. Yes. There's a lot of knights running around in King Arthur.
Yes, that is also true. Yes.
Which one are you? What is your thing? What are you about?
So, yes, they all have one thing.
They have a thing, and you've just got to remember it, and they all have different names. And in the legend, and I actually remember this mostly because I decided that I needed to read two Yuletide fic that are about this legend that I really like. And in the legend, he's actually one of four sons.
Oh.
Five if Mordred is counted as one of the sons, or if Mordred might be his cousin, depending on like which version of the legend you want to pick. Who's his mom? How many sisters does King Arthur have? Could be one, could be two, could be like five. But in the movie, and I didn't realize this until the second time around, he doesn't have any brothers. He's got those three sisters who I didn't realize were his sisters at first. Like the ladies who are always with Morgana, those are his sisters.
Oh, I didn't realize that at all.
I didn't realize that at all either, but I was trying to see if they had double cast the actor for Burlak as the Green Knight, which they hadn't, which I also was like, that's a weird choice. They're the same person. What are you doing? But they were like younger sister, elder sister, middle sister. And I was like, oh, I guess they're his sisters. Gotcha. Hmm. That was a weird thing. But it was helpful that one of the sisters had a very wide hairdo, because I could always like be like, oh, this is what we're doing. I see the wide hairdo. The visuals were weird, but they were consistent. Yeah, very true. I also enjoyed that they brought in the text. Not the text of the legend, but the physical text of like headers basically into parts of the movie, calling back to like, oh, this initially started out as a written thing and we're incorporating it as part of this visual medium instead. I thought that was cool.
Stylistically, I liked that a lot because it gave perspective on where you were going in this quest. I mean, admittedly, it all went off in weird directions, to be fair, but it's like split it up into parts. Like you knew that when one of those headers came up, okay, we're going to go off in another direction, maybe a completely strange direction, but it'll be in a different direction than the riding down and getting accosted by thieves versus et cetera, et cetera. And I did appreciate that because it was split up into very different groupings. Yeah. Now, I'm not 100%, like each of those I know in an original legend would have been, he was supposed to learn something from each of those events.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, I'm not actually sure what he was going to be learning from any of those at all, any of them. I'm still not sure what he learned from any of them.
Question mark. Well, it actually, that inspired me to think of as there's a cowl that was called the Manuscript Cowl by Kirsten Howard, which has this illuminated manuscript on just a cowl. And that was what I was thinking of when I was like, if I were to knit something inspired by this movie, what would I knit? And I was like, I would like to bring in that little perspective into the knitting.
I was thinking either a very complex lace shawl or a girdle.
Ooh, a girdle.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be green.
Yeah. It would have to be green. It would have to be green. And if you made it double layered, you could tuck something onto the inside of it.
Ooh, I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
But to go back to our previous discussion, one of the, I don't know if you learned things. I'll have to think about that. And I'll probably get back to you in like a month to be like, this is my thesis. But I'll turn it over in the back of my head until then. The one adventure that I really enjoyed, his little side quest with Saint Winifred, because he kept trying to be genre savvy and she kept being like, what are you doing? No. And smacking him down in really funny ways. He was like, and she had to touch me to be like, is this a ghost? And she's like, what are you doing? No, stop it. And she was also, did you recognize her? She was the actress from The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, no, I didn't recognize her. Yeah. I thought she looked vaguely familiar, but I did not recognize her.
Yeah, she was Kylie Morgenthau. And I was like, oh, what's up? I think she might be our first actress who has been in multiple properties that we've seen.
Maybe.
Unless there's somebody who like we've already talked about, which entirely possible. My memory is not good. So I enjoyed that. And it was a little weird to be like, and then he's going to meet some giants. And there were just like giants who were like whales. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from these giant whales.
Right. And he was like, can I get a ride? okay. I was like, wait, I don't remember there being giants of any variety, much less wandering around giants. But yeah, there were a lot of scenes there where I was like, I'm sure this is supposed to be greatly significant in some way, but I'm kind of missing it here. I'm not very much one for like significance of events if it's not like clearly spelled out in my face.
Well, that one actually reminded me of, and it was not any Arthuriana, but it reminded me of in Lord of the Rings when they're at the very beginning and they're watching the elves go into the West. I'm like, are the giants going into the West where they will diminish? So that was my only thought, but I don't actually know if that's something that I just made up to give it significance or if that was something that was part of it. But
yeah. Well, there was that whole thing about, you know, we have trodden down the Saxons and brought peace. And then the thief is like, yeah, you know, they're all dead because King Arthur and his people killed them all. Yep. And that was the last it was mentioned. Any of it. Nothing further.
Well, one of the other things that I was looking at when I was like digging into the casting to try and be like, oh, let me try and figure out what's going on here, was I was wondering if he was quote unquote the scavenger in the subtitles, because I can't watch anything without subtitles because I'm old and can't pay attention. And the fox, I was like, is that the same voice actor? And the answer is no. It's not. Because I was like, you know, the fox shows up for the first time and then he goes away and you see the scavenger and that little storyline happens. And then the fox shows up afterwards. And eventually I was like, maybe they're related. And the answer to that appears to be no. But I was like,
I was terribly afraid that the fox was going to be dead in the bag when he held up the bag and he's like, I have something for you. I was like, oh no, it's the fox. This is totally the kind of movie where something awful like that would have happened and just been thrown away like that.
Yeah.
If fox was alive and then fox was talking. Okay.
Yeah. Things just talk sometimes. But I did appreciate that the fox is okay. I was worried about the fox. When Gawain took a swing at the fox, I was like, listen, I know you've had a long and confusing day, but do not take it out on this poor fox who's just trying to help you out, just trying to be a buddy.
Well, I don't know if it's like, yeah, you know, you could go there and get your head chopped off, or you could go off and do all your thing.
Yeah.
You could not die. Yeah, you could not die. And then the fox is like, okay, if you're so not scared, take the thing off. Take off the girdle.
Like it's a rat.
Them's fighting words, fox.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the fox is, and that's kind of why I'm like, maybe the whole point of this movie is like, you have to choose your choice. You can't have it one way where you're like, I'm going to go get beheaded by the Green Knight, but I want this insurance policy of the girdle with me so that I won't actually get hurt. You have to actually commit to that path of action.
I like that theory. And that theory honestly makes me enjoy my recollection of the movie better. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And again, this was me sitting there and desperately trying to be like, what is this movie trying to say? I can tell it's trying to tell me something. What that something is, I am going to have to ponder for a while. It was a weird movie. Also, this was just like a weird small thing that I saw. And I was like, I'm not sure what you're doing and why this is happening. But when he had his portrait initially painted and when there were like the little puppets of Gawain, I'm like, am I supposed to understand that they are whitewashing this story by like significantly lighting his skin? Like, or are you just like, are you whitewashing it? Like, what's going on here? Because like, you like kind of looked at those two and I was like, it doesn't look super light. Like it has this facial structure.
No, it doesn't look like him at all.
Yeah, it has facial structure, but I'm like, you have like lightened his skin tone significantly. So that was interesting. And then the lady in the castle actually took like a picture of him, and it was really that was actually a really cool little moment when she's like, I'm gonna paint your portrait, you have to stand really still. And I was like, oh my god, what's happening? And then I realized, oh, this is a photograph. She is making a photograph of him, and that was very cool. So I did like that,
and that one did look like him.
It did one look like him. It was purple or like greenish bluish purple, but I mean, it accurately reflected him. And the reason that I was trying to be like, are these people all double cast? Is because the actress for the lady and for Essel are the same. So I was like,
oh, I didn't realize that at all either.
Yes, they're the same actress with different haircuts and obviously very different costumes. And I think different accents as well, although I didn't pay great attention to that. But that's why he like walked in and was like, what is going on? Because it was the same as the lady who he's involved with. And that to me was also why the scene where she took the favor away is part of my interpretation of, like, you have to choose your choice. She's like, what is this? And he, like, won't commit to that relationship. Like, he wouldn't commit to it earlier when he was talking to Ethel and being like, she was like parroting his little mouth and being like, yes, you should propose marriage. And I was like, this is a really cute moment, because the movie doesn't have a lot of humorous scenes, but it does have a couple of touches here and there where they're like, I have a sense of humor about this. Mostly not, but occasionally I'm going to show it off. Like with St. Winifred, when she's like, why would you touch me? Why are you trying to be genre savvy? Stop it. And like the part where Ethel is like moving his jaw and pretending to speak for him. And when he like falls down flat when he enters the castle, I was like, okay, you have a sense of humor.
Not much of one, but you have a little.
This is not the point of the movie, but I did appreciate it. Like sometimes when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, you're not funny at all. But like, I'm like, okay, you have a couple moments. And that was also, I think, just generally as part of his temptation with the lady is like, oh, she looks exactly like your girlfriend, basically.
Oh, see, that did not occur to me. My facial recognition is exceedingly poor. So two people in completely different settings in completely different costumes, I will not recognize them, as evidenced by the fact that I didn't recognize anyone. I'm not sure I'd have recognized Dev Patel if I hadn't already known it was him. But yeah, the whole thing with the lady, I was like, oh, yeah, when the Lord was going, I will bring you a gift, but you have to give me whatever you get in this castle. I was like, oh yes, I know where this is going.
I was like, again, this is a kissing story. There should be more kissing. But that was also interesting because he didn't really agree to that. Like if you like,
no, yeah, no, he didn't agree to anything. Yeah.
Because again, he doesn't know how to choose his choice.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, you're going to say something and I'm not going to agree or disagree. So at the end, he finally is like, no, I will choose my choice. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is that weird, like, I will neither agree nor disagree. Cause it was like kind of some dubcon in there with both the lady and the Lord, but like, it was also definitely like, I am not consenting, but I am not consenting so that I don't have to take responsibility also for anything that happens afterwards, like whatever it might be, because I was watching analysis because one of the YouTubers I follow did like a little video on this, and she was like, and then he runs off in a homophobic panic. I'm like, and then he runs off in the panic of a man who enjoyed that and wished he didn't. That was kind of the vibe that I was getting. He was like, looked at him and was like, oh no, I like that. Just like the way that I liked being with the lady. And I don't enjoy that I liked either of those things.
Legit, there was definitely more than a trace of dubcon going on in all of the above. Cannot blame him for not liking either of those things, frankly, because he fled from the lady too.
He was just like, nope, I've had a bad and confusing morning and now I'm going to die. And I'm like, okay.
Except not really, because
question mark, kind of,
question mark, question mark, flee, yes.
But it was an interesting movie. I thought the aesthetics of it were interesting. They kept having these like weird shots, like with the giants where they were like, we're going to flip the horizon. She's like, okay, yes. Why? Sure. Cool. I guess.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, the cinematography was interesting, though admittedly, I probably was not paying as much attention to it as I ought to, because cinematography is not something I typically pay a lot of attention to, but I expected it to be a movie theater movie. I expected it to be sort of like a scale sort of movie, and it was definitely not that sort of movie. I'm not sure what kind of movie it was.
No, unclear to this day.
And you've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice, and if you were like, please describe this movie to me, I'd be like, well, it's really weird, number one, most importantly. Number two, significantly different than The Legend. So
yes, accurate. The more we talk about it, the more glad that I am that I've seen it, though if we hadn't had this conversation, I probably would not feel that way about it.
That's fair. No, it's, you definitely end the movie and you're like, I guess this movie happened to me, something. So
yes,
sometimes they're not all going to be winners. They're not all going to be winners.
That's okay.
That's okay. And we just have to open ourselves to new experiences and then move forward.
Yes.
How did you feel about the combination of swirled piece and ripping out your sweater that betrayed you?
Swirled piece actually worked pretty well. Ripping out the sweater surprisingly, because that should have been kind of a mindless task that I should have been able to pay attention to. It required more concentration to prevent tangling and to keep things in order than actually knitting the ferrule. And I was doing it at a portion of the time when the movie was doing its significantly dark scenes. So I did end up having to rewind a fair bit just to make sure there was actually something happening and my internet hadn't died.
That's very funny.
Yes, quite. I did in fact stand up and go closer to the TV at one point at that time when he was in the cave.
Yeah.
Because I could not see anything going on the screen.
No, I mean, it's very hard to see. It was actually very funny because I do feel like another kind of minor plot of the movie is like, nobles are useless at life because he's like, I chopped off a melon. And Ethel's like, well, what is that like? Because I've never, like, I don't have access to melons. And then he's just like very, very bad at surviving in the wilderness.
Yes. So, yes. Like, oh, which makes sense, to be honest, if you think about it. Yeah.
He's like, you can't light a fire. You accidentally just poisoned yourself with these mushrooms. You fell down a cliff. Buddy, buddy, what are you doing here?
I would have liked more of his mom, to be honest.
She was pretty cool. I think she was supposed to be, and again, I think I'm making a lot of suppositions here, that Arthur was only going to have one sister and she basically was Morgana Le Fay, because he gets in a fight with somebody who's like, your mom's a witch. And he's like, I will punch you in the face.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, well, she is a witch, to be fair to this dude.
Yes, she is also 100% a witch.
Totally a witch. For me, the Homecoming Cardi by Shay Johnson is actually a very easy knit at this point because it's a very repetitive pattern over, you know, a large swatch of fabric. But I was finally hitting the point where I was separating for sleeves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, I actually have to do something different here while I'm trying to pay attention to this movie that has like this very atmospheric vibe and not a lot of dialogue. Did you realize that when they go into that like weird foreshadowing of his potential future if he ran away, there was no dialogue.
No dialogue. None.
I didn't realize that until the second time through. And I was like, wow. All right. Cool. Okay. Weird. So weird.
I actually enjoyed, I don't know if enjoyed is the right term for it, but I think that was the part of the movie that I enjoyed the most. Because for me, it was the part that had the most forward momentum.
Yeah, that's true. It definitely was like thing. Where the rest of the movie was a lot of long shots of like thing, hold thing. Okay, next thing. Well, next week, I promise, or next, not next week, next month, I promise you there's going to be a lot of forward momentum because we are going to listen to the audiobook of Princess Floralinda and the 40 Flight Tower by Tamsin Muir. So that will be interesting because it'll be our first audiobook. So we're going to see how we do with that and then, you know, explore new things. And if it doesn't work, then next month, the month after that, we'll go back to a movie.
Yes.
Thank you all very much and talk to you next month. Bye.
Bye.